Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, it is, I'll need that. Thank you, Stevie. Can I also get a bottle of water there? I lost my voice, Victoria, as you were leading us in worship. Shouting. My goodness. Yahoo. Jesus. My friends, today is a sober-minded day, yes. It's also the day of Pentecost. It's also a great opportunity for us. In the midst of darkness is the opportunity for the church to stand up and shine light. The setting of darkness is what sets the stage for great light. And I have to believe that the God of the universe is in control, and that he empowers, and that he speaks into situations, and he is the one that brings change. And he does it through people, absolutely. But he does it through empowering people through the Holy Spirit. And this morning is the day of Pentecost. We are celebrating and honoring the reality that the Holy Spirit was poured out on planet Earth. God took a deep breath and he blew back into creation. And men and women were filled with his Holy Spirit yet again. And life has changed forever because eternal life now dwells within people. We have become the tabernacle. We've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that changes everything. I got so many things in my heart this morning, and there's such opportunity that is at hand for us. I want, though, to take a note just for a moment, just to take a step back. Because there are some praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which absolutely, we are looking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But not because he's never been here. But rather that God is breathing into our moment, our generation. That when God speaks into a generation, when he speaks his word into a people, when he blows afresh into a people, he empowers them to take hold of the assignment of their hour of history. And that is what I believe we are in the middle of right now. There is a shaking going on, and the power and the presence of the Lord are here. And if the presence of the Lord is here, then the people of God will come into alignment with what he is saying. Then yes, that fresh breath will fill us, strengthen us, and empower us to do the very work that he has for us in this moment. Come on, I hope you had an amen behind that one. I wish you were here. I feel like today is a good preach day, all right? We do have some stuff that we're going to go after this morning, so I don't want to delay too long in introducing a guest, okay? Because this morning, we're going to do the service a little bit differently. Perhaps, I don't know if you got the shot yet or not, but there are two stools up here because this morning is going to be a conversation. And this conversation is going to be a powerful one. It's going to be one that lights you up. I hope you get mad. I hope you get sad. I hope you get frustrated. I hope you throw things at your television this morning because something in you gets fired up. Because in the firing up is where the Holy Spirit is breathing into. Okay, this is Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Okay, this was a secondary filling of the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure that God doesn't do that again, if he doesn't pour out like that again, he still pours out his Spirit, not just the one time in Acts 2. He did it in Acts 4 as well. Look at this. It says, this is Peter. He was together. They had just gotten arrested. There's been some stuff that has gone down, stuff standing in the way of their assignment. Peter stood up in the prayer meeting and goes, and now, Lord, take note of their threats. The threats to shut the church down, the threats of violence, the threats of riots breaking out, the threats that are filling their ears that would stop the assignment of the Lord in our hour. Take note of their threats and grant to your bondservants that they might speak your word in all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, that place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. They began to speak the word with great boldness. That this morning is what I believe is going to happen. That as the word is spoke forth today, that boldness is going to fill your heart. That the Holy Spirit's going to anoint these moments, and that he's going to change things for you. He's going to shift things for you. There is a movement of the Spirit today, and when the Holy Spirit moves, when he speaks, it changes everything. It sets the stage for great change, for reformation, and reformation is what we need. We need revival on the things that are true and real and good. And so there are some things, rubble, that needs to get washed away because it's actually a day for rebuilding. There are things that need, in the spirit, structures that need to be rethought. Some things actually need to be torn down so that reformation can come where the true, the real can be manifested. That's our discussion today, so I hope you're ready for it. I have a friend who's going to be joining me here. And just hold on 1 second, Austin. My friend Austin Coleman, I got to brag on you just a little bit here. Actually, why don't you come up so you can get embarrassed in front of people. That'll be great. All right. My friend Austin Coleman, let me see. I believe we met for the first time on the Capitol grounds. Here. Okay, you're right. First time I saw you, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a dream that I had had. And when I saw your face, it was like a gong went off in my heart. This is a man that you are supposed to know. And we began a conversation there. Why don't you grab the mic? We began a conversation there that started us on a journey. That was how many years ago now? Long time. It was before 13 years.
13 to 14, because Josiah was just born.
Okay.
About 14 years ago.
So 14 years ago, we met each other, and the Lord kept bouncing our lives off just through the years. Boom, boom, boom. And then finally you repented and came and be a part of the house. No, I'm just kidding. Phases of life and seasons of life. This is actually a word for somebody. Sometimes the Lord brings people into your life for a moment so that it's a setup for a later season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened with Austin and I. And the Holy Spirit has been at work in our day. And I just got to honor Austin. Austin is one of the elders here at the house church. He's a pastor. And he is prophetic. He is powerful. Every time he speaks, there's something in me that just comes alive. And this morning, in the context of what we're experiencing in the Twin Cities here and around America, there are questions that need to be asked. There's reformation that is required. And I thought that, the setup was this, that yesterday I went to prep for today, knowing the Lord wanted to do something today. And the Lord had been speaking to you, and we texted each other almost at the same time. And we're like, okay, this is what we need to do. Hmm. We need to just get together and just talk.
Let's talk about it, right?
Yes. And something in the conversation is gonna light people up. I really believe that. And so I again, if you haven't welcomed him, I want you to welcome Pastor Austin Coleman.
Good morning. Good morning, house family. Praise the Lord.
There is, yesterday, Austin, you and I, we sat in this room and we spent some time praying together.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit brought up this passage, Psalms 29. And I just want to say it before we get going here, because I think that this is what's going to happen in people's hearts this morning, is that Psalms 29, the whole thing, I'm not going to read it for you, but the whole thing is about the Lord's voice. And when he speaks, the power of it, how it shifts things, it changes things. Yeah. I mean, it strips the forest bare. It quenches fire. It's got so much power. And then when the Lord speaks to his people, however, what happens is they are filled with a might and a holy boldness, a strength for war. And in that mighty array, that filling of power that happens in the saints, he also puts his blessing on them so that they'll be prosperous in what they put their hands to. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, what's going to happen is we're going to have a conversation. We're just going to talk. Actually, my goal is actually to forget that the camera is there And you guys can just be a spectator as Austin and I light each other up. It'll be fun. But that somewhere in the conversation, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart. And that strength and boldness is going to come on you. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say one more thing just to maybe set the stage for our conversation.
Please.
Many of us have been praying. Austin, we've been pressing in prophetically. We have been feeling the unction of the Lord on this hour. I mean, come on. Yeah. We've been praying for and believing for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The Lord set us up thinking, like really from the beginning of this year, saying Pentecost is going to be significant this year. And so our church family has been pressing into that. I mean, leaning really hard into this, knowing that God wanted to move. I don't think any of us saw this coming.
No. Nobody saw Monday, past Monday, coming. But Jesus is in control, amen? Amen.
Come on.
Come on. And Jamie and I were talking about this, and we're just flowing. And what God showed me, he brought to remembrance the sermon that Jamie Pat preached in March about when Jesus and the disciples got in the boat to go across the lake to deal with the principality.
Come on.
It's very important that people catch what Jesus was going to do.
Come on.
Sometimes we read the Bible, we think Jesus is just randomly doing stuff. Jesus never randomly does anything. He is always on purpose. And so he was going across the lake to deal with a spiritual entity, and the storm popped up. And when I saw what was going on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, I'm like, wow.
Right.
That's a storm. What is Jesus up to?
Come on.
What is he about to do in the midst of this situation?
Yes.
And God has been downloading on me, he's downloading on Pastor Jamie, and we're praying that the church catches this, because it's very easy to get caught up in the storm, like the disciples did. They were panicking. They didn't know what to do. And when Jesus got up, shut the storm down, he asked the disciples, "Where is your faith?"
Wow.
Jesus is asking the church right now, is our faith?
Come on.
Right? You know, we don't need Jesus to shut down the riots. We need to speak.
Come on.
I don't know if you're in your house right now. We need to pray and declare. If you're a believer and you know Jesus is Lord, you declare and speak right now.
Come on.
We silence the riots.
That's right. Jesus'
we
name.
We silence Jesus the riots name. In Jesus' name. We declare law and order in Jesus' name. Why did we get to do that? Because Jesus gave us the authority to
come
do that. Don't get me started.
Come on.
If he said, all authority in heaven and earth be given to me, therefore you go and do.
Come on.
Then I think I can go and do. How about
come
you?
Come on.
Hallelujah.
So this is what happened to me yesterday. It was yesterday morning. Just praying, asking the Lord, what are you saying in this moment? Like, so prophetically speaking, looking in the spirit, like, that's a gift that rests on my life, and just seeking the Lord, tuning my heart in. And I began to see something, and Austin, you can speak into this. Absolutely. Please do. But this picture began to emerge where I saw the hand of the Lord, like running through the soil and coming underneath something and then forcing it to the surface. And I was like, what are you doing, Lord? Right? Like, lots of shaking. I mean, have you ever been in an earthquake? I've been in an earthquake one time in my life. And so I'm a novice. Okay. I had it one time. But when, let me tell you, like when everything around you is shaking, you don't feel okay.
No, you don't.
So like, there's something.
I've been in a couple too, and it's.
It's like unnerving, right?
It is not comfortable.
So the Lord was underneath and he was shoving to the surface and everything was shaking. I mean, stuff was moving. Stuff, you know, non-permanent things were really being shook up. And people were getting mad about it. And it was like this, Like big picture, not just about this moment. I mean big picture. Like the Lord was under America bringing stuff to the surface, and his hand was running through the soil, and it was shaking stuff up. And what was beginning to emerge out of the soil were demonic roots. Real strongholds, real demonic things that had been sown into our society. And those things were coming to the surface. And as they came to the surface, I don't know if you've ever like woke an animal up from its hibernation, like where it's comfortable and, you know, it's not happy. and so I just saw like the Lord emerging. And as these demonic things began to emerge, began to be exposed, they started to rage.
Mm-hmm.
They were raging, and case in point, bring it to this moment here, and this prophetically, this is what I believe the Lord is doing, and Austin, I want you to speak into this. I know that you and I are seeing similarly, but I really, truly believe that the Lord is causing racism in America to be exposed. That root system, questions are being asked that we've just have never asked before.
It's true.
There is things that are emerging and conversations happening that just haven't taken place before.
Right.
Maybe they took place behind closed doors, but now they're in the public eye.
Right.
And in the same time that that stuff's being manifested, you do have demons throwing a fit. Why? Because they're being exposed. Their time is short.
That's right.
Because the Lord is dealing with it.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Come on, man.
If you don't believe that's happening now, you're asleep. And I think Jamie's picture is amazing. Now, let's be clear about something. There are a lot of things that God is rooting up. We're not going to talk about all of them. Race is not the only thing God is
absolutely
dealing with now.
Absolutely.
Right? But what happened on Monday to Mr. Floyd was a picture. And, you know, I've had some conversations with people in our congregation, and we talk a lot about this race thing. And I would like to kind of put a picture around it, because I think it's important to understand what Jesus is doing. Because people use the word racism, and then they just walk away. But you have to understand what racism is. And I think it's a system. And I use the word marginalization to define it. It's a way to basically treat one group less than another group. And there's a picture. Troy, can you put it up? That I use to talk about it. And I like to talk about it from the standpoint of history. Because if you don't think God is at work dismantling this system, you don't believe in the same God I believe in. God has been at work from when there was slavery in America all the way to when we get to heaven, and it's a true Galatians 3:28, when there's no slave, no free, no Jew, no Greek. We're all one in Christ. That is God's desire for the church. Can I get a witness?
Come on.
I mean, if you don't believe God's desire is that we are all one, that's got to be our picture as believers. And so, you know, we had this situation called chattel slavery, and I used the word exploitative. It was an exploitative system. The system was designed to exploit one group of people for the gain of another group of people.
You're talking historically.
At this point. Yes. And there was a system part of it. It's a systemic part, but there's also an interpersonal part. How the slave master dealt with the slave, how the overseer dealt with the slave. But there was a system too. I could sell a slave for money. If somebody stole the slave, he was property. I had property rights over this human that God made in his image and his likeness. Can you recognize there's a problem with that?
Yeah.
Emancipation Proclamation occurs, and now slavery is no longer legal. So we move from an exploitative system to one of dominance. Not that we can exploit black people. At the time, whites just felt they were better than black people. Lend leasing, sharecropping, Jim Crow laws, separate but equal. Our history is filled with all of that. But then we move on. You know, hey, Civil Rights Act of 1964, watershed moment, right? God is at work. All of a sudden, we have a president, Lyndon Johnson, who steps in and says, you know what, this isn't right. And he passes and works to get legislation through. Civil Rights Act of 1964. And so we can see that it's a continuum from the past to where we're going. So as believers, we can't sit back and say there's no color or race when we know Galatians 3:28 is not in full effect in the body of Christ. I'm gonna let that sit for just a second. If we all believe that in the body of Christ today, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither black nor white, truly in the body, if we can truly say that, then we can just, we're ready to go to the next subject. But if we can't, then there's things that as believers, both black and white, we have to do together. It's not just a black Christian thing. It's not just a white Christian thing. It's, we have to do this thing together. Amen.
Yeah.
And we have to see that we both have a part to play in this.
Yes.
Right. So you have a question to ask her. I don't want to.
We're just flowing.
We're
Austin.
Just flowing.
You know, I was thinking as you're sharing this. Okay. So you're talking when you use the word systemic. Okay. This is a word we're going to throw around today in the conversation. When we say systemic, systemic means a system.
Right.
There's protocol in a system. There's a way that people were treated and are being handled. And so you walked us through history where you're talking about, you know, the roots of slavery and the system that managed a group of people.
Right.
The systemic side of that. And then you're talking about they're the two sides of this, where there's the holistic system, and then there's the interpersonal, the actual context for a specific slave with their, you know, quote-unquote master, that relationship has its own sort of set of dynamics that are different than the overall system. But so you're talking about how in history the Lord has taken us on this continuum, and there's a process that has been taking place.
Right.
We're not there anymore. No,
we're not there anymore.
And then even through history, there's been, you know, the proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, for the setting free of slaves, but setting free into what?
Right.
A whole nother system of dealing
right.
with a population of people. And as then you move into, like you pointed out, the Lyndon Johnson and this decree that's made in 64 of how it shifts again culture from the law standpoint, but you still have all of the interpersonal relationships
that still need to be managed and dealt with.
Absolutely. Yep. That it's not just law and the system anymore. Now you have the dynamic of people, how it works. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot that goes into this.
There's a whole lot that goes into this. And it's easy as a black person to just blame white people for systemic issues. And I want to
talking about that point, law, structure,
law,
these
structure,
things.
Structure, et cetera. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, well, that's not really right. Now,
can you explain that, Austin?
Well, so how mean? Jamie deals with me, right? If Jamie you
deals
know,
with you,
yeah. Or how
are you
we,
kidding me?
How we? Let's say Jamie it doesn't really love me like a brother.
Oh, come on now.
Let's say he didn't. Let's say he was. You know, he had this kind of inferior. You know, imperior, superior, inferior. Kind
I'm beginning
of
to get one.
Yeah. What? If he was dealing with me like that, I would be. That would be an interpersonal thing.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And I would be within my rights to be like, man, Jamie, that's not right. You know, we got to check that.
Yeah,
right. But I can't necessarily say to Jamie, because of the way the police system treats a person, that's his fault. So the thing that God was showing me is that I can't blame Jamie for that. But at the same time, when Jamie sees injustice, he can't just sit there and go, well, oh, that's just injustice.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, Proverbs 29:7 says that the righteous, you know, basically they stand up for justice for the poor. The righteous see injustice and say, that's not right. That needs to be fixed. And I think, you know, as a black person, I just want to hear the church say that's not right.
Come on.
I want to hear believers stand up and go, whoa, we got a problem here. We got to talk about this. That's not right. And I think that's what God is kind of uncovering. That's what Jamie was saying. We're having conversations now we weren't having last week. Last year.
It's true.
Right? That's not to say
even though there's been attempts. Like, but the context, I mean, okay, so I'm going to read that verse that you just quoted there. So this is Proverbs 29:7, and I'm going to add 8 to it, okay? It says this, "The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked do not understand such a concern," okay? And again, this is about the rights of afflicted. That's the word poverty, poor, okay? Systemic issue, people under duress because of a systemic issue, okay? "The wicked don't understand such a concern." And so the wicked man it's not even in his frame of reference. He don't care, so he has no problem inflicting upon and violating rights. Just has no problem because his mindset or her mindset isn't even there. Right. It is in a completely lower, and we're going to talk about mindsets, like levels of mindset. It's in a low mindset because it is not understanding the creation order.
Exactly.
Right? And then it says, this verse 8, "Scorners set a city aflame, but the wise man is able to turn their anger."
Come on.
Okay? And I think that's what's happening here, is that we have had people grab hold of the message of injustice, which it's real.
Very real.
Okay? Injustice, real. Now, when you grab hold of that message, but you, in your heart, are not operating in that higher mindset, we end up just, like, yelling at each other in a lower, inferior way, and nothing good actually comes of it. And so you have people burning down buildings in neighborhoods that needed those buildings. I heard one official yesterday in an interview, they're talking about burning down the Cub Foods, and I'm thinking, in a neighborhood that needs food,
right,
what are you doing? And clearly, you know, clearly there's something going on here. It's rage, and this is the demonic element, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, just to add, Austin, just to what you're saying, I think this moment is providing a context now for us to have this conversation on a deeper level. We've had it before, but never like this.
Right.
Not in front of a camera. I mean, come on. Like, you and I have had this conversation many times. But it's time.
Exactly.
Why is it time? Because the Lord is actually in this and he's dealing with this.
Right. And we have to take hold of it.
Yeah.
Right? On both sides. Right? We just can't. Wow. This is a Kairos moment.
Come on.
Because let's put it in the context of what we've all been praying for, which is revival. Right? This can be the spark for revival. I mean, revival is Galatians 3:28. I mean, I want to see that kind of church. Right? I want to see the church without a spot or blemish. And racial inequity inside the body of Christ is a spot. And we can't be inside the body and be comfortable with the spot. So we got to do work. And Jesus is saying now, hey, it's time to do work. And here's the powerful revelation. When the church understands who we are and we get this right, then we're able to adjudicate and regulate what's happening in the world.
That's right.
You know, if the church doesn't get this particular thing right, we can't speak to unbelievers about this. There's no standing. And so what God is trying to do inside the body now is, let's get this right. Let's repent to one another. I can't hold Jamie bound by this. I have to release him. Mercy. Praise God. Jamie has to see injustice and say, we got to work on this together.
Absolutely.
And then the powerful point, and this is what God was showing me, and Jamie, you have it, Luke 18. Both sides of this have to recognize that systemic issues are demonic in their core if they don't line up with heaven. There's a heavenly system and there's a worldly system. And if it doesn't line up with heaven, it's demonic.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And so as believers, if we're inside the church and we're comfortable inside the church with a system that doesn't line up with heaven, we got to ask ourselves, what's up? And so that's what this whole systemic thing is all about. It's like, and we've talked about mountains. So let's get it clear.
Mountains of influence.
Mountains of influence. Yeah. The race deal runs across all of them.
Yep.
So when people say systemic racism, the question is, well, what system are we talking about here? Yep. Are we talking about political? You know, are we talking about media? Are we talking about education? I mean, which one are we talking about?
Yeah.
Because it's real easy to say, oh, that's a Republican or that's a Democrat thing. Right. That's a liberal. Right. I'm like, well, there's some liberals in that camp. And wow, that looks a dominant marginalizational culture over there. And you're saying that you're a liberal. So I'm asking you, if you're really woke, why aren't you dealing with that? So as believers, we have to really unpack this.
Come on.
Right? We have to be intentional about unpacking it. And by each one, we go after it. Now, let's say on the one that we're dealing with here in Minneapolis, because we've talked about this one too.
Okay.
You know, what that police officer did was an issue of policy, in my opinion.
Wow. Can you explain that, Austin?
Well,
what you mean?
So this police officer put his foot on his knee on the neck of this man and killed him.
Yeah.
And he did it with witnesses around and didn't feel he had to do anything. Why didn't he feel he had to adjust his stance? Because he was inside a system that made him feel comfortable that even if he got caught, nothing was going to happen to him. There was no accountability. Wow. He felt no accountability inside the system. It's very important that people catch this. I don't necessarily have to make you an unracist. Perfectly, God will do that. That's not my job to change your heart.
Yeah.
But there should be a system of accountability such that if you do something, you're held accountable for what you do.
That's the point of discipline.
That's the whole. That's
the
whole point.
Keep calling you to a higher place.
You call it to a higher place. Yeah. Thank
you,
Jamie.
Yeah.
And so, as believers, when we see injustice, we have to ask ourselves: is the policy in place there to hold people accountable for what they do? And if not, we need to ask for reform.
Yes.
And now you begin to talk within. And again, because we're talking systems, when you're talking the systemic racism within the system of media, right? This is a separate issue than the systemic issue that we need to deal with specifically. In the judicial system and the legal system, which is a different issue than we need to deal with.
Education.
Yes, and these each of these systems have their own little unique thing that have somehow stayed isolated just enough to allow that sinister thing to exist still.
Exactly. And as believers, again, getting our thought process higher, we have to see those things as areas that we are given authority to adjudicate against. I mean, when you see a system that is unjust, you deal with it.
That's right.
In prayer and then practically.
Yep.
Like, hey, we got to write a letter. We're having some conversations. We're putting together our own platform or thoughts around, you know, let's say it's police reform. All police officers aren't bad. Hear me. Police officers are good people.
Yep.
It just so happens they operate, some of them in certain systems, operate in a system where a guy like that could do what he can do and feel okay about it. That tells me it's a systemic problem. Yeah. Right. And so we go after systemic problems, right? In the spirit. And the reason I brought up Luke 18:2-8 is because we're called to call on the righteous judge. Like, so, I mean, Jesus, you need to come down here. And oh, by the way, I think that's kind of what we're seeing. If an unrighteous judge is going to do something like this.
Let me read it.
And let's read this.
Yeah, yeah. So this is Luke 18, starting in verse 2. In a certain city, there was a judge. Is this the one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and he did not respect men. There was a widow in that city. She kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because this widow is bothering me, come on now, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, continually she's going to come and she's going to wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will God not bring about justice Amen. For his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Both white and blacks have to do this. Yeah. So that's the thing that we were talking about. If Jamie doesn't see a need for justice, and we're brothers in Christ, and I do, and I bring it to his attention, and he's like, yeah, that's not my problem. Well, we're not in alignment. We're not in agreement. How can two walk together unless they first agree?
Yeah.
So what God is kind of bringing up in this situation is in the church, we need to come in agreement that systemic racism is an issue and it needs to be rooted out.
Come on.
This is no indictment. And this is the thing, thank you, Lord. God was saying people need to recognize, don't make a systemic issue an interpersonal one.
Ooh.
As a white believer, don't feel you have the burden of dealing with a systemic issue. It's not your burden.
You know, Austin, this week, I want you to keep on the same line, but I want to create a context for that statement because I had so many young men and women make statements owning interpersonal guilt and interpersonal weight for the systemic issue and making statements about it and really not knowing what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're speaking to there.
Exactly. So, I just want to release you from that.
Come on.
I have my white friends who are listening. I'm releasing you from that. God isn't calling you to bear the weight of systemic injustice.
That's right.
He is asking you to partner with your black brother and sister to erase
Come
it
on, let's
and get
up,
rid of it.
Deal with it. That's
He's
right.
asking you to partner. He's
That's
not
right.
asking you to carry the burden. I'm not asking Jamie to carry the burden of a broke police system, but I'm asking him to partner with me to get it right.
Come on.
And that's what God is calling us to do. He's calling in this time.
Yeah.
There's a freedom. There's a peace that God is trying to get across the body of Christ. All this demonic rage. God's like, I'm just settle that storm down. Speak to it. Mm-hmm. You have the authority. Come together and speak to
That's
it.
That's right.
But then you need to come together and deal with it.
Yes.
Deal with the system together.
Yes.
Talk it through. And here's the other thing that God was showing me. He's like, nobody has the answer but me. Why aren't you asking me what to do? Jesus was on my case. I mean, don't show up and think you have the answer. I have the answer. Yeah. Jesus has the answer. Jesus is saying, I have the answer. I know what to do.
Right.
But if you two don't first come together and entreat me, if you don't want to get on your face and ask me for it, if you're not going to say, hey, look, let's get together and figure this thing out together, then he's okay. When you're ready to come and give me, you know, Jesus, man, yeah, I'll wait.
And this is Matthew 18, where two or more gather in his name, then he will be manifested in the midst of them, right?
Hallelujah.
And then when they come into agreement, things can get bound up, demonic things can get bound up, and heavenly release can take place.
Right.
But it doesn't happen until the two of us get together, and we not mentally agree, but we get in the spirit and connect with what heaven is saying.
Exactly.
And when you and I have revelation about what heaven is saying, the Lord manifests, and then when we come into agreement, we have power to, and authority to bind and to
and
loose and to deal with this thing.
Exactly.
Amen.
And I say this is not just in Minneapolis. This is everywhere.
Yeah.
This is a world thing.
It is a world thing.
Right? We're just catching the revelation here. And it's interesting because we had been starting this conversation. Was it 2015? When did we do that declaration?
December 6th, 2015.
Yeah.
Was the 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment. And, there's going to be some who are more learned than me in this, but let me just read a quick statement. On December 6th, 2015, Pastor Austin and myself stood in this pulpit and we made a public decree of mercy and justice, committing to the removal of systemic racism within the church and beyond. This was the 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment, and in that amendment, it made room for racial slavery within the penitentiary system.
Right.
And that's a whole nother issue, but you and I made a stand that day, and I came into alignment, and it set some things in motion here.
Praise the Lord.
So that's part of what's happening today is when this took place, we went, okay, what are we saying about this? What's heaven saying about this?
Right. And, you know, Jesus in his time he's bringing it to light.
That's right.
And as the church, again, policy is how you change governmental systems, educational systems, it's yep. policy. And so that's what, that's the area that you fight on, right?
Right?
As we forgive what officers do, and we train them up, and prayerfully they get saved, and you know they come to repentance, and because that's what the goal is, kingdom, yeah. right? Yeah. This goal is kingdom. There's no Democrat or Republican in this thing.
That's
right. There's no black or white thing. We're trying to be Galatians 3:28. That's the church that Jesus is calling us to be.
Let me read that passage to us, and just for context, just because there is neither Jew nor Greek. This is Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ.
Right. There's no superior inferior.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We're all the same pay grade.
That's right.
Amen. The last thing I want to drive home is identity. We talked about this.
Yeah, man. Come on.
And it's very, very important because this situation is exposing where people's primary identity is lying on both sides of the deal. And God was showing me, and Jamie said something that's very important too. He said, you know, if your primary identity is in your earth suit,
like your flesh.
My flesh, that's what I use, my earth suit.
Just making sure
everybody's clear. My flesh, my primary identity is in my skin tone, either white or black, versus the kingdom, then I'm not in the right system. I'm not in the kingdom mindset. I'm not in the kingdom identity. God wants his children to identify with him first.
That's right.
We're children of God first, right? I'm not a black man first. I'm a child of God first. I'm a child of God with black skin. I'm a child of God who deals in this, you know, this culture with, you know, how he made me. And how he made me was sacred,
right?
Yeah. Right. So I can't hate myself because of how God made me, and you shouldn't hate me for how God made me, and I shouldn't hate you for how God made you.
That's right.
Not if I'm a child of God. What does that say about my love for him? If I treat Jamie differently than I treat myself. Or I treat Jamie differently than my black brother, because he's like, God's like, I made Jamie just like I made you. Yeah. How are you going to treat him differently than you treat that guy? Wow. What does that say about your love for me? I made all of y'all. Right. Right? I made him. I gave him blue eyes. I gave him brown eyes. I had him black skin, red skin. Yeah, I mean, I gave him, that's how I made him. Yeah. I made all of you that way. You know, there's diversity in the kingdom. God made us that way. And if we don't treat it as sacred and fight systems that treat it as common, we're not doing kingdom work.
You said a lot in that. Let me slow it down because there's a lot there. So first of all, you have dealt on multiple levels here. You've talking about the interpersonal side of things. I can't hate you. You can't hate me. You're talking about identity, which is the gate. And I love how you put this. I want to kind of put a picture to it. You have multiple doors in front of you, and your identity is what gets you in the door. And those doors open up the system in which you are going to live in.
Mm.
Okay? And so if you are if you want to live in the system that deals with you according to skin tone, then that identity says, I'm a black man, I'm a white man, I'm an Asian, I'm an Indian, I'm fill in the blank. Okay? And that system has rules, and it deals with people in a harsh way, and there's lots of injustices, lots of all that stuff, because the identity is what puts you into that system. You are claiming that identity as your primary identity, right, and that's what locked you into that thing.
Right.
So how do I get out of it? I need to back myself out that door, right?
Right.
Now, again, we're talking interpersonal and systemic, right?
Right.
System. So you're saying kingdom work is to change the systemic issues that are, like, there is a work of the kingdom.
That
and that
people.
Requires our agreement. That requires some constant pressure. That requires change within those mountains of influence. Like, somebody needs to grab hold of that specific issue, and let's run that thing forward.
Right.
Okay, that's the systemic side. At the same time, as an individual, I'm living with interpersonal relationships.
Right, come on.
And so my interpersonal relationships need to come into alignment with heaven. Like, I got to deal with my insides. I can, and this is what I, Austin, it's so profound, is that you could end up doing kingdom work, trying to push systemic reform, but interpersonally and as an individual be working from a lower mindset,
hey, come on,
because break it down. 'Cause your primary identity is I'm a black man working to change systemic reform. And so you end up without the power of heaven resting on you trying to do kingdom work. And that's whack.
Right.
So something has to change.
Right.
And it vice versa. Like it happens where people, they get all their interpersonal stuff right, but then refuse to do
the systemic
stuff. Systemic work. Yeah. Because they're feeling okay. 'Cause no, I like black people. And so why do I have to, I'm not part of the racism problem, not realizing that there's a system that we're all living under that needs to be challenged.
Right.
Hopefully that's making some sense here. I love how you frame that out a little bit, just because it's so necessary. But those doors, I feel like maybe is a gate into that level of this conversation, because when I put on that gate, I remember, personal story here, I remember went into basic training, into the military. I grew up in my hometown, my high school, had one African-American young man in the whole school. Four grades. Okay, one African, and he was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how white the community I grew up in was, okay? I go to high school, I go all the way through, and now I'm off to basic training, where the far majority of all of my fellow troops were of other ethnicities.
Yep.
And in the midst of that, all of my own insecurities, because I had to settle real quick, wait a second, what is my identity here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I a white man? Is that the frame of, that was all my only frame of mindset is what I grew up in. It's
right.
Not my fault that I grew up in this.
That's good.
Right? But now I'm having to come face to face with my insecurities and face to face with, because, and what ends up happening is as I deal with the interpersonal inconsistencies with kingdom alignment, I'm repenting before the Lord, not for racism, but because my mind and my heart, I've never had to even ask these questions before. Now I'm coming into alignment with kingdom identity. I'm a son of God first, and so is my bunkmate, who's an African American and is just the most stellar human being that I've ever known.
Right.
You know, and my best friends end up becoming, you know, are all, it's an interracial, beautiful mixture thing going on. And at the same time, when we walk out of that controlled environment where the system said no racism allowed,
right?
Okay, not that it doesn't ever exist in the military, but the system has dealt with much of that. Here I am in that kind of environment. We're free of that, so we're free to have the interpersonal on a high level. When we walk out of that room, we all graduate, we go into our individual lives. My friends are now living in a system that isn't the same system I'm living in.
Right.
Is that expressing?
That expresses it right. And the challenge, and I think what, you know, what your friends would want to say is, Jamie, do you see what I'm in?
Right.
Do you see me? Or do you assume I'm overreacting?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, no, that doesn't really happen.
Right. Our interpersonal is so good. What are you talking about, man?
What are you talking about, man?
There's no racism here.
Exactly. And I'm like,
we're talking about two different things. That's the problem.
We're talking about two different things. And on both sides of the ledger, until God gave me this grid to talk about, I had a hard time expressing what was the problem. Like, yeah, Jamie, you and I are cool, but when I go into Target and they're following me all around, and I tell you that, and you go, oh, I never see that. Well, then, right?
So how do we get out of, levels of thinking, mindsets, right? There's a kingdom mindset, the mind of Christ, that says there's neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, all that, no gender, all that. We're all free in the Lord, fully kingdom citizens,
hallelujah,
right? There's that mindset. If we can live from that mindset, wow, things change. But then we have these lower mindsets. Okay, Austin, walk us through. How does somebody, first of all, come out from under the weight of the systemic? You know, you spoke a little bit to that. But how do I unlock myself out of my skin tone?
Yeah.
I want you to talk to me as a white man, If I'm sitting here and I am stuck in a racial paradigm where race is a real thing and I'm thinking of my identity according to my race, then what do I do?
Well, I think the first point is to recognize that.
Feel free to change that question I just want to get to it.
I think to the point of on both sides of the ledger, the first point is to recognize that that's where you are.
Sure.
And here's the thing that I think a lot of white people miss is that they typically have not had to figure out that that's where they are. One of the benefits of being white is that you're not necessarily seen as white. I'm not raced.
Yeah. You might be cute or not.
I'm only raced when a black person races me.
Whoa.
And then all of a sudden, do I immediately, is my first inclination to defend and go, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not racist.
Wow.
Or do I ask myself, how do I truly see myself?
Wow.
African Americans have a similar thing. If I primarily see myself as a black person first, I've entered through that door and I get the results that system through that door gives me.
Yes. Wow.
And that's a revelation the Lord gave me, and it was hard. I've been trying to figure out how to unpack it. You did a good job of unpacking it. If I see myself as a black man first, then I'm in that door, right? And the system that we're talking about now deals with me like that. And oh, by the way, it is very important to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Yeah, man.
Principalities and powers. Do you think like the police officer that just randomly stops the black guy, is just a bad man? No, I don't think he's a bad guy. I mean, he's a family man. He probably has kids. He loves his family just like I love mine. So he's not a bad guy. But there's a demonic element that's
something
saying,
hey.
And if he doesn't have a revelation that he's operating in the door that he's in, then he'll let the demon say, yep, I'm stopping this guy. You're in a neighborhood that you don't look like you belong in. I'm going to start asking you questions.
Yeah, no wickedness can come.
And yep. And so that's part of what's going on in that system. So as believers, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, what door am I in? Where am I living?
Where's my identity?
Where is my identity? And I'm going to have to ask my white brothers to really ask yourself that question.
That's right.
And there are a number of, there's all kinds of things on social media asking about, different various levels of supremacy and all that kind of stuff. But you got to ask yourself the question. I like to ask myself this question. How would you feel if your daughter brought home a black guy and said, I'm going to marry him? Because that really tells people where your heart is. I mean, one thing is that we can be friends, but it's another thing that we're going to be family.
Ooh.
And that'll really tell you. You've got to ask yourself that question if you're going to be honest in your quiet place. And if it comes back like, ooh, I don't know how I'd feel about that,
wow,
you're answering your question for yourself.
Where's your identity at?
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
As opposed to my first question is he saved? Like if my daughter brings home a white guy, I'm like, well, is he saved or not?
Right. Right.
Right. You know, I mean, that's if he's not saved, no conversation.
Right, because we're talking at that point. Because a kingdom mindset.
Kingdom mindset. I gotta know he's in the kingdom first. Yeah. I don't care if he's a good looking kid or not. Right? So
that's the second question.
That's the second question.
Come on. You can do better. What's going on here?
Come on. So we have to ask ourselves where we, you know, and really spend time because that's going to unlock so much.
Wow.
It's going to unlock so much. I think part of why people are reacting the way they're reacting now is because all of a sudden there's this feeling of, wow, this, I don't feel comfortable.
That's right.
And it's more like, why was I not uncomfortable before? Like, I've been alive a long time. Why am I now just feeling uncomfortable about what happened on Monday?
Right.
When what happened 2 months ago or 2 years ago, I was kind of uncomfortable. Why did what happened on Monday really make me uncomfortable? And I think in the church, it's because God is
really
working.
Yes.
He's really stirring some stuff up. And the goal is, wow, why was I uncomfortable? And it gets back to the conversation we're having here. You know, and the last thing I want to say is I want to make sure that people feel these in the house, man, there's safety here. These are conversations that we have to feel safe having, right? I don't want you coming into a conversation feel I'm going to judge you, right? That you got to have all the right answers. Well, I don't want to say something that'll offend you. Like, dude, really? Like, let's get out of that. That's, you're in the wrong door.
Yeah.
Love that. You're in the wrong room. Yeah. If you think you're going to say something to me. No. If we're kingdom-minded first,
that's right.
You're not going to say anything because we're both operating above that. So we're now strategizing, how do we talk about this to make systemic change?
That's right.
Right? Because our interpersonal thing is good. We're good. Now as believers, we're taking the next step. And here's the last thing I want to say about this. Believers, we have to be strategic about how we deal with these things. Because the world is very strategic about how they deal with the stuff they want changed. And I could run a list down for you of all kinds of things we see, ungodly thought processes in the world today that were shifted culturally because of how the world decided they wanted to deal with it. And so if we want to see things in the world change, then we have to be systemic. We have to be tactical.
That's right.
About how we do it.
Yeah.
This is the person we talk to. This is our agenda for the conversation. These are the three people or four people we have to influence to make the changes we want. Because change doesn't happen in systems from the bottom up. It happens from the top down. Systems are controlled by individuals.
I think this is where the Matthew 18 paradigm begins to come into alignment here, is because when you and I come into agreement and we begin to get the mind of Christ on the, because when the Lord speaks, he gives us words of wisdom. Like
everything changes.
He sets up steps. Our process forward, it doesn't need to match. We're not in a race with the world. We actually are above it. And so when we get the mind of Christ on an issue and begin to take action based on what he is saying, the wisdom of the world looks like foolishness when God's word manifests.
And that is so good.
So
because Jesus with the word can change the situation like that.
True.
Like that. He doesn't need the processes that the world went through. He can just go, and it will change.
It's still going to take, though, this agreement, the still going after these systemic issues. It's
together.
Still, yeah. And
together.
So I wish this conversation has flown by. We're already, cranked over. It's awesome, man. Yeah. Clearly, there's need for more discussion and more conversation like this. And so let's prayerfully talk about how we keep doing that.
Yeah.
So, today, just highlights, okay? Because it is Pentecost, because this is opportunity for the body. As we're speaking today, there would have been things that lit your heart. And what I want you to recognize is in those things lighting your heart up is where the Lord is speaking and where he wants to give breath. And so I'm encouraging you, many of you are in family groups, you're in home churches today. You have other people over. Maybe you're watching with a friend, maybe you're watching just with your family alone or your kids or whatever. This is the conversation to have. What did the Holy Spirit impress upon your heart today? And as you guys share, what happens is you're going to have agreement. And when you have agreement, recognize it was the Lord speaking to each person, okay? And in that, he wants to breathe. There's a fresh empowerment that will come. And so and a boldness.
Yes.
Because, like, we hear each other and go, oh, we heard the same thing.
Boom.
Let's take steps, okay? So there's a lot of action that needs to take place in these days. And it's not just one course is the right course, because the Lord Jesus is your shepherd, and he's speaking into your life. And so it's really important you recognize what the Lord is saying to you in your household, in the people that you're in alignment with, and allow the conversation to take place, and then let's act upon those things that the Lord is saying. Okay, that might mean going down and cleaning up today. That might mean there's a peace march happening today. There is unity gatherings happening. It might mean just call up your neighbor and have lunch. It might mean, I don't know what it means for you and your household, because the Lord Jesus is leading you, okay? But we're going to have to deal with the interpersonal stuff, you working with your world, and at the same time recognize that there is a greater conversation and greater alignment because the Lord's wanting to deal with stuff. How I want to close our service today, Austin, is we're going to come into agreement, you and I,
yes.
And we're going to bind up this demonic
yes.
thing that we both
yes.
have seen so clearly.
Come on.
We're going to recognize that the Lord is unearthing and that there's a wind of change on racism. And why not? Let it be so, Lord. In the house of God, let it no longer have any root system
no.
in the body.
None.
And so that's our declaration today. And we're going to loose the Lord's breath
yes.
on each one.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Maybe this Pentecost is looking different than you thought it was. I know it's looking different than I thought it was going to look. Man, I was expecting a charismatic meeting where everybody's knocked out on the floor. I did not realize that the Lord was putting a sword in our hand to bring change and reformation.
Yes.
But that's what's happening.
Yes, hallelujah. And if you don't feel that we need reformation,
come on. Time to repent.
Time to repent.
All right, wherever you're at, would you just stand to your feet? Father in heaven, we come before you.
Yes, we do.
Sons and daughters.
Hallelujah.
Sons and daughters. Kingdom identity. Come on, man. Kingdom identity.
Yes. One in Christ.
Lord, Austin and I come before you as your sons.
Yes, as brothers.
Lord, before the throne of grace, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
the
God.
Body around us, gathered yes. in homes, coming into alignment with
yes,
this prayer.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we recognize that the battle is not flesh and blood. We recognize that there is a spiritual component to this that is raging. It's demonic in its nature, and it needs to end. This is a demonic storm. But that demonic storm is pointing to a real issue. Its root system has a real issue attached to it.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Lord, we are calling before the throne today, Lord, for the binding up of that
yes,
demonic
Lord.
Principality that has caused the church to be in bondage to racism, systemic racism that cuts across all of the mountains of influence in culture, enculturated, Lord, all of it.
Yes.
God, we're calling for that thing to be removed from our culture. It's full exposure.
Yes.
That the light would shine on it, that
yes.
men and women might see it for what it
yes,
is
Lord.
And deal with it. Bring
yes,
real policy change.
Yes, Lord.
Shift, systemic change,
yes,
Lord. And at the same time, my Father, I am asking for deep grace for each one.
Yes, Lord.
In the interpersonal relationships, Lord.
Yes, God.
Grant grace to
heart
them,
conditions change, Lord. And mercy to
yeah.
flow. That we don't hold what individual peoples have done inside the systems against them.
Wow.
Released.
That's right.
We release you.
Who?
In Jesus' name. On both sides.
Yep. We release.
We release the looters.
who are flowing under the demonic influence. We release the police officers who've treated people unfairly. We release the people who've just looked and turned a blind eye and said, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
Release you. Wow. Don't hold it against you.
Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Jesus.
Lord, they need a revelation of you.
Deep.
They need a revelation.
Deep.
Give them a revelation, Jesus.
Please, God.
Meet them in their dreams. Awaken
yes,
them, Lord. Awaken
Lord.
Them to truth.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do a thing, God.
Holy Spirit, would you come right now and breathe on your people? Every time you speak into hearts, Lord, you impart supernatural strength for war.
Yes.
That the body of Christ would rise up a glorious warrior bride.
Yes, Lord.
That the blessing of the Lord and his peace would guard our hearts and minds. No more torment.
No.
All torment associated with guilt because of systemic issues, we break its power now in Jesus' name.
All torment that's tied to not giving unforgiveness and living in judgment, we break in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Holy Father, we decree mercy. We legislate mercy this day.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And now, Father, in that place, we're asking that you would loose your holy angels to come in to deal with those demons.
Yes, Lord.
Father, come, release your holy angels in the city of Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities metro area. Release your holy angels, Lord, to deal with this demonic infusion that has had a root system here.
Yes.
We see it and we call it. We bind you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We bind you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. We release judicial mercy over the peoples. You no longer have access to the people. We cut you off now in Jesus' name. We decree right now that the blood speaks a better word over the Twin Cities.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we speak to the police departments and the National Guard that they would be clear about what they see.
Oh, yes, Lord.
That they would be moved with compassion. They would be not. They would be slow to judgment.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The Spirit of God would move over the commanders and chiefs of those organizations.
Yes, Jesus.
We come against any racial marginalizing spirit in the positions of authority there. We cancel you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're not able to operate.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are seeing this as a step towards reconciliation.
That's right.
Between the protesters and the authorities that are trying to keep law and order.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let there be true reconciliation, Jesus. We see peace.
Yep.
The lion and the lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lying down together, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We call it done.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We call it done.
And Father, just a personal request. Lord, would you just cause a huge rainstorm to wash away, to quench the fires, and to end the riots?
Yes.
Lord, would you just cause that?
Yes.
Lord, let your holy rain, Lord, the presence, the rain of the heavens upon people, that they would be renewed and washed and all that. But even your natural rains come across to all those cities where riots are happening.
Yes.
Just disperse them, Lord.
Yes.
Just disperse them.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We speak to the heavens that the shift would take place. Thank you, Lord. Bring an end to this, Lord. Even in the natural, Lord, let the natural world, the earth, Lord, we call even to the natural creation come into alignment with heaven. In Jesus' name, we just speak to the creation. Peace. Come into alignment with heaven. Bring an end to this, even with natural means. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, I pray over the house church. I speak peace to each one of you. I speak a supernatural strength into you, that there would be impartation of the Holy Spirit, that your life would change, that the power of God would infuse you, that he would speak to your heart, and that you would know how to act in accordance with what is necessary in this moment of history, that the breath of God would come upon you, that you would be filled with holy boldness and courage to take part and to take action upon what the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that you would fulfill the calling of God on your life. God, I thank you for that. I bless now. I release the shalom of heaven over each party, each household, each person.
Yes.
That blessing brings prosperity and it removes torment. Yes. And we decree that over the house, over our community.
Yes, we do, Lord.
Let the fires of revival and reformation be spread from this place,
yes,
even to the nations,
Jesus.
Lord. God, we thank you for
Hallelujah.
This. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May his favor come upon your life and grant you peace. Everybody that dared to agree with that said,
Amen.
Come on. Can you give a good clap to the Lord this morning? God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being a part. If this has touched your life and the Lord has breathed on you, perhaps it'll breathe on somebody else as well. Feel free to share it. And let the good news get passed around. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you soon.